Hello everyone and welcome to the online summit, Come Into Your Heart Power, How to Blaze Your Unique Trail and Prosper from Your Passion. My name is Marcia Mariner and I'll be your host today of the summit. And today I have on the line with me Valerie Shepherd. And I'm delighted, Valerie, that you can be with us. Valerie is the founder and CEO of the Heart of Living Vibrantly, Center for Mindfulness and Self-Mastery. She is a catastrophic stroke survivor, self-mastery expert, inspirational keynote speaker, number one best-selling author, and founding member of the Evolutionary Business Council. Valerie is passionate about guiding you to experience more happiness, success, and fulfillment. Using the four-step process that she created on her own, from her own journey of personal transformation, her clients are healing from their past, reprogramming negative conditioning and limiting beliefs, and creating more vibrant lives and thriving businesses. Valerie's number one best-selling book, Living Happy to Be Me, Dancing Your Soul Light Style, is the centerpiece of her transformational practice. She loves to work with the age 17 to 25 group, and is partnering with the University of California, Irvine to pilot her consciousness-raising content in a curriculum called Living 101, Being Happy and Whole. So thank you, Valerie, for making the time to be with me today and to share with all of our listeners your inspirational path and your part of this new paradigm shift. And I can just imagine even what those students are feeling when they take your class to be walking into a classroom and having a whole new different type of education. So that's only part of what you're about. But I'd love to hear how you became awakened in your sense of direction in life and how this path unfolded for you. And now all that's happening is you prosper from your passion in so many ways. How did this all start for you?
Oh, this is such a joy for me to be with you, Marcia, and I say hello to you and a happy hello to our listeners, and I'm hoping some of my students are among them. And yes, this has been quite a journey for me, and I would say the point of awakening happened at a couple different places. So I've always been spiritual, and when I was 13 years old, my grandmother gave me a subscription to the Daily Word, which is a publication of Unity Ministries and Unity Village. And so I had been focusing on the Daily Word and really felt empowered and felt like I was opening myself up to connection to Source and divine energy. And in actuality, what I know in retrospect is that was pretty much a head experience. I was thinking about it, and I, you know, was into the knowledge of it and not so much embodying it. It wasn't an embodied relationship or expression or experience, but I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
So I did that from age 13 into my 30s. And then there was this other major, and throughout that time I noticed ups and downs, you know, pronounced ups, pronounced downs, and but I would have generally characterized my life as very, very good. But it always seemed like I was chasing after something that I just could never catch. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's what I teach, satisfaction, you know, fulfillment, real true happiness, unconditional love. That's what I was looking for, but I was never able to created, or so I thought.
Mm-hmm. And the very thing you needed to learn, you are now teaching.
Yes, so yes, mm-hmm. So beautiful. And then I had this experience when I was a corporate vice president. I had moved here. I wasn't living here most of my life. I moved here to take this corporate vice president job in 2004. Things just weren't what they should have been. This was like the height of my career, and I was living in the, you know, really beautiful place that I'd wanted to live in for years, and it should have been the most wonderful time of my life, but it wasn't. Things just were not going the way I thought they would. And that was kind of the start to this period of, like, if this is my life, why doesn't it feel like my life? And I was in the hospital, emergency room, thinking I was having a heart attack. I hadn't had a heart attack, but they could see on the monitors that my heart is doing something that is not, it's atypical. Mm-hmm. And I was later diagnosed with a benign superarrhythmia, which basically means that my heart just would race and kind of go out of control on its own. And some of the things they wanted to do to get my heart back into rhythm just seemed a little scary and out of the realm of possibility for me. So I went on an inner journey. I went and talked to my minister, and I really decided, okay, something's going on. This was the big thing, the words that came out of the doctor's mouth that made me know that I had to go within. He said, the cardiologist said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. There's something very wrong with your heart. It's just not physiological. So, you know, we don't know what's causing what we're seeing on the instruments, but we can see there's something going on, but we can't tell you what to do about it.
Hmm.
So that was the start of this questioning and exploration at a deeper level of myself. And I ended up leaving my corporate job and trying other things while I was also looking at who am I? Who am I mm-hmm. in my life? Who am I mm-hmm. in the universe? How does life really work? Why do I see outside me that everybody else seems to be so happy? And why is it so difficult for me to land there and stay there? Mm. And it was a very profound and powerful time, and it's continued.
And how many years ago was that?
That was 2006, 2007.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time. And since then, the exploration has just gotten deeper and the journey's just gotten much more rich and mm-hmm. much more fulfilling and much more vibrant. And, it's just been amazing.
It's very powerful. It's so moving to me to hear about your observation that you had it all, and yet there was a part of you that wasn't very happy. There was something missing. And
Yes.
And your body was talking to you, and it feels intuitive on your part that you also seem to know that the answer was not in some type of medical treatment. When you heard the option, something in you was guiding you to another path. And look where it took you.
Yes, beautiful. And this is something that I say and I teach from, but I'm not the original person who said this, but that our lives are happening for us,
right.
not to us.
Right.
And when we will, like, allow, accept, and receive the things that show up in our life, even the ones that we don't think we asked for, and really wish would go away, when we can, like, create a relationship with those things as though they are the latest teacher who has lovingly appeared to take our hand and walk us further on the path than we could get without this particular experience. It would be just so magical and wonderful to just be in that space of saying yes to it.
So beautiful, and you did that, and you're most likely continuing to do that. You mentioned becoming embodied presence. You became present to your body, to what's happening inside you as your great teacher, and it took you so much further than you could ever imagine by not trying to get rid of it, but to show up for it and let it really be your guide and
yes.
give you its message. And a message for all of us of what can happen. This is a great example of what can happen when often we feel like things are breaking down in our lives or in our bodies, that it can be a breakthrough to a whole new form. And you had the willingness to cooperate and choose that path as a great example to us as to what to follow in our own lives. So I want to hear more about where that's taken you, because first of all, how's your heart?
Oh, my heart's great. what's interesting for me to look back on, especially now, is that 15 months ago, I had a catastrophic stroke. So that's a brain situation. My blood vessel on the left hemisphere of my brain burst, and I had a stroke. It was interesting. I was facilitating a leadership, all-day leadership workshop with a group, Center for Educational Partnerships, mm-hmm. at the University of California, Irvine. And this brain infarction happened, and so the last 15 months have been recovering from this catastrophic physiological experience, and it has been more of this listening to the messages that my soul is communicating with me through my body, mm-hmm. and being willing to surrender to the process and the journey, mm-hmm. whatever it looks like. You know, we often take journeys and are so busy trying to fashion it after our ideas of what it should be like. Right. But I think we miss that there are opportunities for it to be exactly so much better, but we step over those because they didn't look exactly like what we had fashioned from our mind.
Exactly.
From our intellect.
Right. And sometimes we don't even know we're that attached until something doesn't work out the way we thought it should or how we expected, right?
Or we've actually been calling it in. So I know in my life, one of the things that I used to lament was that I was so busy and working so hard. I never liked working hard. I was conditioned to work hard. You know, mm-hmm. I always wondered why I had to work so hard. And I was resentful, frustrated, angry. Underneath the surface about why does my life have to be so damn difficult? Why does everything have to take so long and require so much work? And I don't want to work that hard. And lo and behold, I wasn't meant to, and neither is anybody else. Just these conditioned patterns of response to the world. And now when I hear these little nuggets of wisdom or of illusion and lie that are passed off as wisdom that sound like anything worth having is worth working hard for, I do cancel clear and I close my ears and I walk in the other direction. Because I don't want to work hard for everything I get.
Right. So you're
saying we're not meant to. We're not meant to. The truth is, that's not what we're here for.
And you learned that through this stroke? Is that how you feel like you really came into that awareness?
No, I came into the awareness through the steps that I teach in my book.
Okay.
And the stroke is giving me an opportunity just to double down on that.
Gotcha.
Just to, like, a stroke and the recovery of it, if I wanted to really anchor in, wow, this is hard, I really could. I mean, believe me, learning how to walk again, learning how to hold spoon, learning how to feed myself, learning, and I'm a right side dominant athlete and person. So I write with my right hand, I hit with my right hand, I kick with my right foot. So I'm very much right side dominant,
mm-hmm.
which is also left brain dominant, which would be the logical analytical self. And isn't it interesting that that's the self, that's the part that needed a break and so it shuts down.
Incredible.
And, yeah. So very interesting. And so I think the stroke has given me an opportunity to really go much faster and deeper into the embodiment of the life. Is it meant for hard work? It's a choice. And there are times when, you know, you're breathing into your purpose and you do need to get a lot of things accomplished. And yet, when it really is your purpose and you really are allowing spirit to move through you as you, breathing life into that purpose, it doesn't feel as debilitating and it doesn't take energy away from you. It actually gives energy to you. That's, I think, the nature of this experience of being inspired and being enthused. That's like entheos or inspirited. You're moving in the energy of spirit working through you. And so what you know, people talk about writing whole books that are channeled. Like they're not,
yes.
they're yeah. out of the way and allowing spirit to come in. I think that's true of all masters, whether they are authors writing books or magnificent painters doing artwork, or like my brother's a phenomenal musician. I just believe that they are able to move out their ego and they're tapping into this ever-present source energy that's connecting them to that which aligns with what they're here to be and do.
Yes.
And so I'm practicing more of getting my ego, you know, the little small self, Valerie, who is looking for validation and wants to feel like she belongs, needs to know that she's okay, that she's lovable, and that she's smart enough and pretty enough and acceptable enough, but get her out of the way and be a vessel. Tell her everything's okay. We are all those things. That's the nature of who we are. And then very quietly and peacefully move over and let the divine take charge. I talk about it. I used to always want the divine with me. God is always with me. But here's the way I did it. I would envision a bicycle built for two, and I'm on the front seat, and God's on the back seat, and I'm yelling over my shoulder, "We're going over there!" Like, pedal in that direction, God. And now I've given up the front seat, and I'm on the back seat, and God's on that space for the divine to operate in my life, and I feel 100 million times better doing
that,
being that person.
So I hear such a spirit of surrender and of letting go. Mm. And what struck me listening to you is that awareness that when we're aligned with the source and co-creating with that inspiration, even when it's work, it flows and it doesn't cause the dis-ease that working from our own will, from our own plans or projects, disconnected from the source, gives us at times. And that's a really great way to pay attention to where it's coming from inside us. It starts to, you know, weaken us, or I notice in my own life, I can feel when I'm leaving that place and I start to feel not inspired. And that there, I have to listen to that. And so thank you for the clarity around when it's, how to discern where it's coming from inside, and how many patterns we have to unlearn in order to feel the movement and align with that movement and know what that feels like to be in that state of joy and fulfillment, which is what this summit's about, coming into that power in our heart where we feel that joy, we feel that love, we feel that meaning, we feel that purpose, and we prosper from that in so many ways. And yet, in order to prosper in those ways, so much of our old patterns have to be shed. And I'm hearing that that's happened for you. And also what struck me is that your heart issue in 2006 was a profound awakening for you and moved you forward on your journey. And often when those things happen, we think, okay, I learned, I grew, you know, I evolved, I awakened from that. And yet the universe is saying, oh, my dear one, we have another profound opportunity for you. And you were able to see it from that light of looking at it. Not that you wanted this to happen or liked it, but that you were able to open up to what this was trying to reveal to you. And through that, it feels like it's gotten you to a whole other level. And that's what makes an inspired leader as well. You're walking the walk. You're immersed in your own tools and way of living. And this is so inspiring when I hear of a teacher that's really devoted in their heart to their path. So you're living those steps. And I'd actually love to hear those steps. You mentioned the four steps. I think our listeners would like to hear that too. And I do thank you for the meditation that you gave everyone to listen to as well.
Oh, sure. So I think the important one important aspect of as we go into the four steps is that none of this is organic. I mean, to your point, there is a commitment.
Right.
Like I said a little while ago, I doubled down on some things. Like that's a poker term meaning double your bet on the same cards, and I put my even more emphasis inside me and trust and faith and belief in growing the spiritual nature of myself, expressing that, experiencing it, and being it. Mm-hmm. And before, it was there waiting for me to connect, but I was disconnected from it. It's kind of like, you know, electricity is moving through the house at all times. If the light's not working, it might be that it's just unplugged.
Right.
But the electricity is waiting for it to be plugged back in. And that's the same for all of us. We are naturally, inherently born into this planet as divine beings who are having an experience of a human nature of us, but it's not all of us. It's not
right.
The core of us. It's not the most important aspect of us. It's just the aspect of us that's needed in this realm more than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting connected to and staying in connection with an expression of the divine aspect ourselves is what the divine aspect of ourselves is what the book is about, Living Happy to Me. It's about raising our consciousness to that level where we are living it, breathing it. And I call it, instead of lifestyle with an S, I call it lightstyle, L-I-G-H-T, on purpose. That was a purposeful choice of words because there's this real lightness of my experience that has come as a result. And my students tell me this and my clients tell me this. Life just isn't so hard. It feels a lot sweeter. Like the tools, the steps give them an opportunity to even experience something as bad as almost dying in a stroke and it's been 15 months and I'm still in therapy and rehab and still feeling the effects of it. And so to go that long and even longer, still feeling like your life is beautiful and is exactly what it's supposed to be is really cool. And so the four steps, the first one is wake up to the truth of who you are. You are not just a human. Like, you can never say, I'm only human ever again, because that has never been true. And the real truth is that you're a divine being. And as such, you are endowed with divine abilities. And learning to use those, the same way we learn speech and we learn to walk and we learn to use our hands, that all of that stuff is learned. We just have never, many of us have never been taught it. So
right.
Using that, those abilities are critical for you to really live at this lifestyle, higher consciousness, divine way. And then step two is once you know that you are a divine being and you're like, okay, I got it. I believe it. I'm going to live it. Then step two is shake up and release everything that is not that. So whatever conditioning you're carrying, whatever false beliefs about yourself, about how the world works, like that one I said earlier, everything worth having is worth working hard for. Money doesn't grow on trees, or money is the root of all evil, or whatever things we say, whatever rules of engagement, little platitudes that we've like hung our hats on and lived our lives by, if those don't align with you being a divine being and the world being a spiritual place, they have to go. Because if you hang on to them, you're actually outside the ability for you to actually tap in to the source power. So you might plug in something, but it ain't plugged into the electricity, so it's not going to do you any good. So you have to shake up and get rid of the stuff that's blocking you from
mm-hmm.
actually experiencing that which you say you believe in, step one. And then step three is make up a new story of you in your life, not just your life, but you in your life. How are you going to be different? And it starts with your relationship with yourself, something that very few people are taught. How are you a nurturing, compassionate, tolerant, self-loving you versus whatever you are today? And then four, the last step is take up the reins and go live it. What are the practices? What are the relationships that need to be in or need to be out? Like, what does that look like for you to keep it going? And that's where the meditation, that's why I gave a the meditation collection as my offering to the audience is that it's a really powerful and empowering practice. And so I'd love to help people go deeper into it or get started with it.
It's very beautiful. As I was listening to you, I could feel the clarity of the method and the simple steps. I mean, obviously this is a process, but it just felt like you just laid out a path for people, for anyone that wants to move into deeper happiness, deeper connection with themselves.
You know where this came from?
Where?
I basically, because I was going through a few years of, I got to figure this out for myself. You know, what my life is not supposed to be like this, but I don't know what it's supposed to be like. I basically distilled several, you know, books I've read, courses I listened to, retreats I went on, practices I was doing, and I just started piecing it together, and that's where the four steps came from. I started noticing, well, gosh, it seems like some of them are talking about this and some of them are talking about that, and if I could put them all together, then I could support people who are getting to a place where I am, where they're like, come on, what is my life supposed to be like? And so that's what the four steps are about. It's kind of tried and true in that sense, that there are a lot of teachers talking about some aspect of this, and I've put it all together.
That's beautiful, and that's exactly what I meant when I, you know, named this summit Blaze Your Unique Trail, because it is your unique ray of light. We have a class we teach about finding our unique magnificence, and that there's no other you in this world, and you have a unique contribution, a unique way of communicating your message, and therefore there's a people waiting for you, and they've been waiting for you and your message, and they're attracted to the way you express it in your form, like a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important that we listen deeply to what we're about and what we're meant to be creating. And I'm inspired to hear how you received so much from many different approaches, and then you blazed your own trail. And now you have your own following, you have your students, you have your tribe that resonates with you and your message. And like you said, there are many other people sharing their message, but this is yours.
Yeah.
And it's like your baby. This is, and only you could create this. Nobody else could.
Yes, and the world needs all of us, all right. of the teachers blazing their own unique trails, and that we plus up and build on and enhance each other.
Exactly.
And there are students who learn better from someone else and not me, and there are students who are doing a great job remembering who they are using me as their teacher. And so it's all beautiful.
Yes, yes, it is. And my heart's so filled just listening to how that all evolves from your own observation, your own journey. And it also struck me when I heard you earlier about how you used to read the Daily Word and you were getting nourished intellectually, but it wasn't creating that shift that happened later in life. And so often, you know, we can study and know so much, but not have that encounter, that experience that then led you deeper and deeper into your heart, deeper into your creativity, deeper into your mission, deeper into your fulfillment and purpose. It's like really, truly a coming home experience is what I heard. It's like you came home to yourself, and perhaps that time away allowed you to appreciate the return back to what was already there at the very beginning. So,
yes, it's really been, I think, you know, I love flowers. I actually am a Libra, and I love just beautiful anything. But flowers are really perfect for this because I picture them, I picture a flower in my heart, whether it be a lotus or a rose. I love orchids, but it's hard, you don't always see them bloom quite as fast as you might mm-hmm. see a rose or another kind of flower. But I just imagine that one in my heart when it's blossoming, constantly blossoming. And that I think that's what life can be when we are on this path of living happy to be me, is to really feel like our life is unfolding in a magnificent and beautiful way all the time. It just goes deeper and higher, deeper and higher, deeper and higher as we go deeper into the truth of who we are and higher into our consciousness.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And in fact, I'm feeling that right now in my heart, just speaking with you in the mystery where this journey takes us into unexpected adventures and blessings. And I'm grateful that I found you and that I had this time with you on the phone. And now I feel like you're part of my heart now that's blossoming through this conversation. I feel you now more inside me, and that's the mystery of like-spirited people on the journey. And the way you've blossomed, I can feel my own heart being blossoming because of that. So we're all helping each other in that respect. And
yes,
I know that
yes,
people
yes.
listening to you will feel the same thing, because you're resonating in that vibration of truth and authenticity. And it's just so beautiful.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for your faithfulness to your path, and putting your book out there allowed me to find you. So that's the other thing. It's such a gift.
Yeah, it's so divine. So seeing now how easy that can be, people keep asking me, what do you mean it can get easier? I'm like, well, things fall into my lap.
Right.
That I'm just walking the walk and walking the talk and following the little breadcrumbs that the divine is leaving, and things just show up.
That's right. You put your energy out there and the universe responds and keeps multiplying. So,
yes.
And that is how I found you. So that's the part of what I hope all our listeners hear and start to experience in their own life. When we step out and say yes to our yes, the universe responds and the multiplication happens organically. So, So I'd love for you to share to our listeners before we say goodbye where they can find you.
Yes, okay. I'd love for them to find me. You can find me in a couple of different places. I'm on Facebook, so facebook.com, Heart of Living Vibrantly. And the website for the book is happytobeme.net. And there are videos there, and I give you some insights on the book, and there are some book excerpts, and there are links and all kinds of things there, and you can also contact me through the website.
Beautiful. And was there one last golden nugget you'd like to leave our listeners with that are considering stepping out and discovering their unique trail and moving into prosperity?
Absolutely. I would say quiet the head, quiet the head, quiet the head. And open the heart. The real, true, intuitive, source-powered direction for your life is not going to come from just the intellect alone. As Albert Einstein would say, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the conscious mind is its faithful servant. We have created a society that worships the servant and has forgotten the gift. So, I'm all about dropping into your heart, embodying your higher energies, and letting them lead you. Let the intellect be the how.
Thank you. I feel myself dropping more into my heart as you say that, and I hope all of our listeners are doing the same thing.
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's an unlimited supply of guidance and love and light, abundance, flowing within us, and we can tap that in our heart, and yet for so many, many people are often disconnected. So I want to invite all of our listeners to just receive what Valerie said, because I know I am, and I can't thank you enough for that wisdom and again for your faithfulness. So thank you for this time. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed listening to Valerie, and please don't hesitate to also receive her free gift that she so generously gave to you. And you can click on to that. Thank you again, Valerie, and blessings to you. And goodbye to everyone listening today. Thank
you. Bye-bye. Many blessings. Thank you.
Thank you.